It's Monday, July 27th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. First off, if you've been emailing me at stash@normal.org and have been wondering, when's he going to get back to me? Hey, I'm on it. I'm really busy. I'm about 300 emails behind over the weekend, and I'm getting to them as quickly as I can. But as you know, we are ramping up for Normal Show Live, debuting on Labor Day weekend, and that's taking a lot of my work right now. I had to redesign the studio to accommodate special live guests that we'll be having here, so had a little bit of technical difficulties earlier in the day. But looks like things are going well, and I specifically want to personally thank the members of Oregon Normal. I went to their meeting this Saturday, and I asked them if they could donate money to help us get Normal Show Live off the ground. And they responded. We raised over $150 just from donations after people had already given so much to Oregon Normal. So thank you so much to the board of directors and the members of Oregon Normal for helping to make Normal Show Live a reality. You can make it a reality too with your donations. A lot of you on the stash have already kicked into the stash tip jar, and we appreciate that. I'm about to get a tally from Alan back in Washington so we can update the little thermometer to see how close we are to our goal. Normal Legal Committee member John Lucy is also pledged to help out. He's contacting other lawyers on the legal committee to get donations. If you'd like to make a secure donation, please check out stash.normal.org/donate. All your donations to Normal Show Live are to the Normal Foundation, which is a 501c3 educational nonprofit, which means your donations are tax deductible. You can help make 2 hours of live streaming internet radio talk all about the cannabis community and your live calls at 877-normal.org. You can make that a reality with your donations today. I'd really appreciate it. I also got some time to post some of the photos from the Blazed and Confused tour, the concert we were at a couple weeks ago. You can see myself in a lot of pictures and a lot of the friendly people who were more than eager to smile for a photo when we told them it was for Normal. So check that out up at the blog at stash.normal.org. Also, some more adjustments to the Normal national calendar of events. We're now including Salt Lake City Normal on the calendar, as well as the personal calendars of myself and Normal's deputy director, Paul Armentano. Now, if Paul's going to be on the radio or TV or at a book signing, he'll put it into that calendar and you'll know where it's going to be by checking normal.org/calendar. You can keep up with us this way and all the other Normal chapters that join in. To get your chapter on the Normal National Calendar, send me an email at stash@normal.org. And of course, what would the stash be without some shout-outs? It's a Normal shout-out. We're shouting out to Arizona State University in Tucson. They're looking to start a campus chapter there. We've got a great chapter in Tucson already, AZ4 Normal, and they'll be great support for any campus chapter that gets started for you Sun Devils down there. Also, we've rescheduled my trip to Idaho. It will be next weekend, August 8th. I will be in Boise, Idaho at the Flying Pie Pizza from 4 to 6 local time, looking for people in Boise and the surrounding Treasure Valley area to start the first normal chapter in Idaho. Since I'm a native, I really want to get a normal chapter in my old hometown. So join me there at Flying Pie for some free pizza and some help in starting a normal chapter. Now, coming up on your Daily Audio Stash, we begin with a look at our hemp headlines, including Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and their effort to decriminalize marijuana in the city, a sad story of teenage marijuana dealers murdering one of their customers over a $5 bag in Michigan. From Colorado, we get commentary from Republican Moms for Marijuana, and from across the pond, more UK reefer madness about the dreaded skunk weed. We debut a new segment here on the Daily Audio Stash, a look at your Normal Board of Directors. We'll be speaking with California Normal and Normal Board member Dale Gehringer and his look at the Oakland marijuana tax that just recently passed. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we bring you the high-grade All-Stars for Message Monday and a song called Smoke Weed Every Day. And in our grassroots activism, we go back to Denver, Colorado, and we speak with Scott Green, the co-founder and executive director of the brand new Mile High Normal, and how quickly he's hit the ground running in forming that chapter and getting active in the Mile High City. All that and more coming up now on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Jacksonville Normal proposing Jacksonville Beach Marijuana Decriminalization Amendment from Jacksonville.com. A proposed Jacksonville Beach amendment is taking aim at the current marijuana laws with hopes to make part of them vanish into a puff of smoke. The nation's largest marijuana advocacy group is pushing a plan to make possession of less than 20 grams a civil infraction instead of a criminal misdemeanor. If the group's petition receives 1,442 signatures from registered Jacksonville Beach voters, a decriminalization amendment would be added to the ballot in the November 2010 general election. If it passes, it would be the first of its kind in Northeast Florida, and organizers say they would push it in the other beaches communities and Jacksonville. Nationally, similar amendments have passed in several other cities, including Denver and a handful of states. Quote, "It's the will of the people and a product of our grandparents," said Ford Bannister, chapter president of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, who's spearheading the proposition. "It's a political hot potato, and nobody wants to touch it. We're out to change that," end quote. The proposed amendment would call for a civil fine of $100 for the possession of 20 grams or less, enough for about 10 to 15 joints. The marijuana would also be confiscated. State law calls for up to a year behind bars and $1,000 in fines. Jacksonville Beach Police would have the option to enforce either law. The Jacksonville Beach Police would likely enforce the state law, and the city decrim ordinance would be symbolic. However, if the city and state are in enough financial trouble, Maybe they would opt for not spending the money on the trials and jails and just making the $100 on the civil fine. Regardless, passing these sort of municipal ordinances is exactly the sort of thing normal chapters around the country have been doing for decades now. It was passage of many of these symbolic ordinances all throughout Massachusetts, for example, that laid the groundwork for passing decriminalization statewide. One of the biggest hurdles we face is something I call the "my neighbor hates pot" paradox. When you ask Americans their opinions on decrim or medical marijuana, by about 3-1, they are on our side. Then, when you ask them whether their neighbor supports decrim or medical marijuana, by about 3-1, people think their neighbor is not on our side. That means the government's successful propaganda campaign has made the reefer madness lies 3 times more powerful than the truth. The 2 out of 3 pot-supporting neighbors believe the one guy who hates pot is actually 3 guys. This is only possible when your neighbors and you are closeted marijuana smokers. Teen marijuana dealers beat man to death over nickel bag. From Detroit News, Warren, Michigan. Authorities have charged 4 teens in connection with the beating death of a man Sunday over a $5 bag of marijuana, officials said. The suspects have been identified as Kevin David Antone, age 18, Thomas Henry Post, 17, Jacob Stephen Andrasuk, 17, and Brandon Lee Ebel, 16, officials said. All 4 face second-degree murder charges, as well as a count of armed robbery and a count of conspiracy to commit robbery in the death of Michael Daniel McCarthy, age 46, according to authorities. Second-degree murder is punishable by life in prison. Police say the group of young men hit McCarthy over the head with a piece of cement, then stomped on him for several minutes after he refused to hand over a bag of drugs provided by Ebel. The argument began after Ebel showed up at his father's home in the 8600 block of Stephen Street to sell his father a baggie of the drug. McCarthy, a friend of the father, also took a bag. The teen left, but then returned, angry, with 3 friends. The teens argued with McCarthy over the $5 bag before beating him and taking off. The police chief in a statement said, quote, "The loss of any life is tragic, but more often than not, acts of extreme violence are the result of this type of criminal behavior involving drugs," end quote. Really? I've purchased more than a few baggies of the drug and never once experienced any type of violent criminal behavior. However, I was never forced to buy a baggie of weed from my friend's teenage son, either. Did the police chief ever stop to think that a 46-year-old man wouldn't be buying marijuana from violent criminal teenagers if he could purchase it in a well-lit, secure marijuana store from another adult who checks ID? When's the last time you heard of 4 teenagers selling a 6-pack of beer to their old man and a 6-pack to his friend, then beating the friend to death over a dispute on the transaction? Republican Moms for Marijuana, from ColoradoDaily.com. As a Republican mother committed to legalizing marijuana, political life can be lonely. But while many in my party whisper about the drug war's insanity, we should shout it from the rooftop. The time to legalize is now. If history is any guide, the crucial female voting bloc, including many Republicans, will provide the political will essential to making this happen. In 1929, it was the Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform successfully leading the charge to end America's decade-long experiment with alcohol prohibition. While many of these same activists fought just years earlier to forbid booze, they quickly witnessed prohibition's devastating consequences, including increased violence. Just 4 years into the Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform's repeal efforts, prohibition was over. Courageous conservatives across the country, including Texas Congressman Ron Paul, former Colorado Congressman Tom Tancredo, and former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, have all said yes to legalization. If we believe that smaller government is better government, we must trust people to choose what to put into their bodies. If we support legalized access to alcohol, cigarettes, and 700-calorie cheeseburgers, we should legalize marijuana, a far less harmful substance. Thank you for the point about 700-calorie cheeseburgers. I can show you far more harm caused to society from fast food than from marijuana. Just starting with the sheer resources it takes to raise a pound of beef in this country, as my left-wing eco-vegan friends here in Portland never stop reminding me, through the massive underground illegal labor market that keeps it running from slaughterhouse to drive-thru, as my right-wing border security family back in Boise keep bringing up, fast food costs us more in healthcare costs, disability, and global climate change than all illegal drugs combined. And certainly more than an eco-friendly domestic crop like marijuana. Now, that said, I will defend your right to an in-and-out double-double with my last dying breath, just as I'll defend your right to smoke the ickiest of the stickiest. We could, and should, change a lot about how both cheeseburgers and cheese buds get to your mouth, but we should never arrest you for putting them in there.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
More UK reefer madness. Cannabis can cause psychosis in healthy people. Start with a scary headline in a British newspaper.
Cannabis, quote, can cause psychosis in healthy people, end quote.
Add a definitive subtitle hammering home the legitimacy of the scary headline.
A more potent form of cannabis can cause healthy people to develop psychotic illnesses, a new British study has proved.
Proved, you hear? Proved! All right, now deliver the lead that tells us marijuana smokers how we're destined for the mental ward.
The results appear to confirm a link between psychosis and skunk cannabis, which now accounts for 80% of street seizures of the drug.
Add some related bullet points to raise the reefer madness levels to 11.
Skunk smokers 18 times more likely to be psychotic. One spliff can mean lifelong mental illness. Mental health charity calls for cannabis study.
Don't worry, by this time, few people will notice this little devil in the details.
Scientists at the Institute of Psychiatry in King's College London made the discovery after running tests on 22 healthy men aged in their late 20s. They injected them with THC, a major component of skunk cannabis, which has been blamed for increasing psychosis among heavy users.
Whoa! Hold on! You injected people with straight THC, and you're using that to prove cannabis use causes psychosis in healthy people? I could have saved you the research. Straight THC is highly psychoactive, and without other cannabinoids, terpenes, and flavonoids found in herbal cannabis, delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol metabolizes in the blood into another form of THC that is even more psychoactive. Oddly enough, while the British worry about this deadly psychotic skunk weed that has risen to 14% THC, their Dutch neighbors won't even approve of medical marijuana unless it is between 13 to 18% THC. Here in America, we approve of a 100% THC, no other cannabinoid pill called dronabinol or marinol, which I will tell you from experience will cause a more profound negative psychological reaction than even the finest 60% THC hash I've encountered. Even the researchers cautioned against making the skunk causes psychosis claim, which, of course, the UK media is required to bury around paragraph 11.
Dr. Morrison said the findings offered, quote, additional evidence that can elicit temporary psychotic-like effects in some people, end quote, but stopped short of suggesting they proved a direct link between psychosis and THC. He said, quote, "Much more research is needed to clarify if skunk is actually more harmful than traditional cannabis," end quote. More work needed to be carried out on the beneficial effects of CBD in balancing the damaging results of THC.
British reefer madness. Just like American reefer madness, except bobbies bust into your flat to arrest you for skunk cannabis, instead of cops busting into your apartment to arrest you for kind marijuana.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
Normal National Conference 2009. Yes, we cannabis. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is proud to invite you to our 38th Annual National Conference to be held Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree, as support for legalization tops 50% in some polls, and overwhelming majorities support both medical marijuana and decriminalization, the people are saying, yes, we cannabis.
I think it's time for a debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana. Thursday is devoted entirely to medical cannabis with experts in medicine, law, and business who practice in medical marijuana states. Friday and Saturday, you'll learn about the politics, strategy, and social science of legalization at the national and grassroots level, with a special focus on Normal's local chapters.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary, and we're celebrating the successes of 13 medical marijuana states, 13 decrim states, and more bills introduced concerning marijuana law reform than ever before, including 3 bills at the federal level. Thursday, we present the High Times Normal Activist Awards. Friday is a special invitation-only party for Normal chapter leaders, and Saturday is the famous Normal fundraising party.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation, I don't know what this says about the online audience. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. NormalCon 2009. Yes, we cannabis. September 24th through 26th, 2009 in San Francisco, California. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is thousands of cannabis consumers just like you, represented by our board of directors, a group of men and women selected for their expertise in the legal, medical, social, scientific, and political aspects of cannabis and marijuana law reform. Learn from the wisdom of the most dedicated supporters of reform in America, your Normal Board of Directors. We're speaking now with a member of the Normal Board of Directors and the coordinator for California Normal, Dale Gehringer from the Bay Area. Dale, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Of course, big news that we reported on from the Bay Area was the vote in Oakland, where they've passed the first ever tax on medical marijuana. Give me a reaction, the California Normal reaction to this tax, to this new tax, and what you think it means for the future of reform there.
Well, this tax was proposed by the medical marijuana community and by the legally regulated dispensaries that would be taxed. They want to be treated like other legal businesses, and you know, at this particular time with the budget crisis we have in California, the money is greatly appreciated. You know, this is a move to move marijuana into the mainstream as a legitimate business, and the margin of victory, 80%, was reminiscent of the margin that we had in San Francisco for the medical marijuana initiative back in 1991. I think this is pointing the way for a lot of other cities and states as well.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing tax that's passed here. You know, they were previously taxed at $1.20 per $1,000, and now they've raised that to $18 per $1,000. That's a 1,500% tax increase.
Well, it's a business tax. The 1.2, the normal Oakland business tax is really nominal. There are a few businesses in Oakland. Gun shops are one, for example, that have higher business tax rates. And medical marijuana added itself to that list.
I see. Okay, and the other thing about this is I've heard, you've been reading a lot of the reports on this tax, and I see people commenting on it, talking about it like it's, they've called it protection money, in that it's such a huge high tax that we're trying to...
Well, it's not that high. 1.8% on revenues is not that high. I mean, look at the sales tax is close to 10%.
I see.
As it is. So I think that takes a lot more bite out of the consumer's pocketbook.
Well, looking at this at a larger scale now, of course, California's got that legalization bill, Tom Amiano's AB 390, that's still in the works. Do you see this as something that portends well for that bill? And what sort of...
Absolutely. As you may know, last week we got a revised estimate from the State Board of Equalization, which oversees sales taxes, saying that the Amiano bill would raise $1.38 billion in tax revenue, which is actually up from our previous estimate of about $1.2 billion. This is an appreciable sum of money, and there's no doubt that it's attracting a lot of attention from serious politicians and public officials around the state.
Has the bill made any more progress in the legislature?
Well, it's not going to be heard till January.
Okay. Okay, so still kind of on hold here.
Yeah, right. And we're working on some technical amendments and things like that in the meantime. Okay. But you'll hear about it.
Okay, now regarding that $1.4 billion that the Board of Equalization has estimated, do you feel that's a complete estimate, or are there some things they're missing there in ancillary products or industries that
No, they don't go into the spin-off industries. Mm-hmm. That's just the sales tax and the excise tax on what they project as the legal market. And it doesn't include savings in law enforcement, which is, of course, a few $100 million and... in our opinion, probably more important than the actual tax money.
Yeah. Are there any estimates as to what a full legalization scheme in California might bring for the state?
Well, there are.
I imagine it's hard to quantify.
You're talking about, you know, probably a $10 billion industry or something like that altogether. You know, you've got payroll taxes and you've got all sorts of things that are involved. But it's really hard to calculate because it could be some displacement of alcohol or other things. It's really hard to say.
Yeah. Now, of course, California is the hotbed of marijuana activism, and we're seeing the cannabis businesses really explode, especially in the L.A. County area. There was recently a THC expo that was really well attended. I understand you were there. Give us kind of a picture of what's going on in L.A. as far as these dispensaries and the businesses go.
Well, you know, they call it the green gold rush. you know, for many, many years, there were no dispensaries to speak of in Los Angeles. There was actually one that got busted in 2001 in West Hollywood. And then from there to about 2005, there were none in Los Angeles at all. It was all in Northern California. And then it just sort of took off. And it took off so fast that about a year and a half ago, there were 186 in the city. And the city imposed a moratorium saying, you know, this is it. We're gonna spend a year trying to devise some regulations and licensing. And in the meantime, no more new clubs. Since then, some other, 600 odd places have opened up, and nobody knows the exact count, in the hope that they would be allowed in the tent under a so-called hardship exemption. Now the city has shown that it's not inclined to grant any hardship exemption so forth. So it's possible that these 600 plus clubs that have opened up down there may be forced to move, which could be extremely, disruptive. On the other hand, I think LA now with a number of other cities, have suddenly come to understand that they don't want to kill the golden goose here. So I think they'll probably try to optimize the number of clubs to reap the most possible tax revenue. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see how that all plays out. But the pinch is going to be coming in LA. The THC Expo down there was very impressive. I mean, they were in the Los Angeles Convention Center of all places, and it was absolutely packed for 2 days. I think 35,000 people came through there. The booths were just highly professional. There was clearly lots of money in the cannabis business, which, you know, includes dispensaries, it includes seed companies, includes grow light equipment, processing equipment, then there's hemp, of course, and then there's us reform organizations which are trying to put ourselves out of business. Mm-hmm. So I think the THC Expo might be shopped around elsewhere in the country as well. But it clearly showed, I think, what the future holds in store.
Yeah. Now, since the last time you and I spoke, the lawsuit from San Diego and San Bernardino has been decided, and they have been forced now to obey California's Prop 215. Any progress on the protection of patients there in San Diego?
They're both going to do the card system. Not that that matters so much, but there's been an explosion in cannabis clubs down there too. San Diego had, before the court decision, had tried to suppress all the medical dispensaries pretty much. And, but now there seem to be like 20 or 30 operating in one way or another. And people are starting to open up in San Bernardino County, which used to also be forbidden territory. So we're seeing a general spread in tolerance of co-ops and dispensaries with this decision.
Yeah, and I imagine a lot of that also owes to the new administration's stance on the raids.
Whatever that stance is.
Whatever it might be.
The drug czar was out here in California yesterday on marijuana eradication raids, saying that, you know, the U.S. wasn't going to allow legal marijuana and marijuana didn't have any medical value, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
So I think we really have our work to do in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to take a while for this wave to sweep back east, I feel. Well, Dale Gehringer, he's coordinating California Normal, also a member of the Normal Board of Directors. Anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
I think that's it at the moment.
Okay. Check out California Normal at CANORML.org. And Dale Gehringer, thanks for joining us here on the Stash.
You're quite welcome.
There were 765,000 marijuana arrests in 2007. That's not for dealers and kingpins. No, that's just for simple possession. Multiply that by the average cost of each arrest. And what have you got? $7.6 billion spent on people just smoking some pot. That's enough money to buy health insurance for every child that needs it. That's enough cash to adopt every stray dog and enough left over to feed it. Mr. Obama, I kinda wrote this song for you. You got my vote for change. Now let's see what you can do.
Visit norml.org today. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Message Monday, Smoke Weed Every Day by the High Grade All-Stars. The High Grade All-Stars are based in California and feature several talented artists, each of whom have released solo albums in addition to their work with the band. The High Grade All-Stars have been performing a mix of herb-influenced American, Jamaican, gangster funk since 1998. The band's dancehall music is versatile with a confident and fast lyrical delivery. To grab the High Grade All-Stars CD and check out more about the band and its independently successful members, go to myspace.com/thehighgradeallstars, and that's H-I for high, The High Grade All-Stars. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Smoke Weed Every Day by the High Grade All-Stars.
When you sip on the Guinness, look on the gals and me giving out the titties, fuck on the buns and me ripping out the chalice. Everywhere me go, see me passing the galley. Fire up Bell Springs, Browns come with it. Mendo, Humbo, Trinity, Bounty. Anywhere we roll, see me have with plenty. Them families and me get the screen and it's
smoking dope. Yeah, it's smoke weed, bro. Way up here in Mendo.
Chronic, you know it's a hit, got my knees on it. Don't be surprised, you see us in high times. Smoke weed every day, all flavors and kinds in a golden state. In me and D.O., we be holding weight. Real ballers making moves behind locked gates. This weed's the shit, don't hate, don't hate.
Smoke weed, dog. Yeah, smoke weed, bro. Way up here in Mendo. We go big, blow big, birthday late.
Everybody could hear me. Anybody could be a true entrepreneur. We already have so many breaths to raise, so why breathe it when you could breathe me? Burn some more weed from your friend and enjoy. Smoke hybrid until the alley give up and fail. Then pull out another gun, roll up some more. Got burnt in my body, got kush in my
mouth. Smoke weed, bro. Yeah, smoke weed, bro. Way up here in Mendo. We go big, blow big, burn daily.
Ask about me, follow, wanna rate me, ball out, go big.
big glow perfect daily. Just give me the light, I got the draw at Sharp O. Cause he got to know it, call me Dutchy Cup, we Fossey Bro. Blue Ring on tour, out rockin' shows. Me and Gene in the hills, out plotting gross. We international, who you ought to know?
St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug law reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists who are peaceably assembling to petition our government for a redress of our grievances, specifically regarding our inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness through the use of cannabis for medical, social, and personal reasons. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we are pro-marijuana. Every Monday, we take some time to talk to the citizens in local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition, in this segment we call Grassroots Activism. Today for our Grassroots Activism, I'm going to go to the Rocky Mountains. You know, you hear me on the show here do those shout-outs where I call out for people who are interested in joining or starting a Normal chapter, and we're going to be speaking today with a man who actually answered one of the shout-outs. This is Scott Green, the Executive Director and Co-Founder of Mile High Normal in Denver. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Russ.
So, Mile High Normal, brand new Normal chapter. What made you want to get involved with marijuana law activism?
Well, a few different things. Mainly, I myself have been arrested a few times for simple marijuana possession, and it has enabled me to get different jobs, a job with the city that would probably pay me twice as much as I'm making now, but they frowned upon my conviction, and fed up with it, and things need to change.
Yeah, that's something, you know, I think a lot of people don't think about when it comes to marijuana laws, is in a state where it might be decriminalized, they think, oh, you just get a fine, it's no big deal, nobody goes to jail for it, but really, it affects the rest of your life.
It does.
Now, you form Mile High Normal there in Denver, along with Emily, and I don't want to mispronounce her name.
Busalagi.
Yeah, Emily Busalagi, there you go. And you got the chance to get your feet wet really quick in the activism world, in that you guys responded to my request for the Slightly Stupid Blazed and Confused tour and got to table out at Red Rocks. How was that experience for you?
That was awesome. They were super friendly down at Red Rocks, super happy to have us. We showed up, like you said, we had like 3 days notice, so we didn't technically have a booth, but we made it work, we made it rock. We had a table, we had great response, they set us up right up top near all the other paid vendors, and we were, of course, a free vendor. Yeah, super response, probably got about 6 pages of emails, got some donations, had the donation jar out there, got a lot of contact and educated the public.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about here, is getting to the public, and concerts like that at Red Rocks and other types of shows are a great way to get your feet wet as a chapter.
And now since you put us on that, we've been in contact with two other festivals around town that saw us there that want us to put booths up at their show. So we have a Monolith Festival coming up in September 19th and 20th, 2 days, that we will have a booth there. And we also have one coming up August 9th called Dancing in the Streets, where they shut down a section of Denver, and we will be working on a booth there with Colorado Normal.
Oh, excellent. And that's a good thing, too, is that we've got these Normal chapters in Colorado that already have a little bit of experience, Colorado Normal, Front Range Normal, for example, and those give you a good resource to bounce ideas off of and to work with. Have you found any difficulties in trying to get people in Denver involved with Normal?
No, not at all. As soon as they hear who we're with, they know exactly what we're doing. We had a rally Saturday, probably about 40 people turned out at the Capitol, and that was excellent. That was basically just an internet and word of mouth thing.
Hmm. Now, of course, the big news that we had from Colorado recently was that Board of Health decision regarding caregivers and allowing dispensaries to continue. As you look forward to the coming years in activism here in Colorado and in Denver specifically, what are your plans as a chapter with Mile High Normal?
We would like to move forward with contacting the Colorado Department of Health on a few more issues that they have. And we have actually someone in our membership right now that's forming up something to send over to them. I don't want to get in detail of it, but so we got to work with the Colorado Department of Health there a few more times. There's a few cities in here. Denver is surrounded by 10 little cities, and they're eating them all up. So we have all these suburbs, and then we're trying to work more towards a decriminalization and legalization in those small cities. Because right now, Denver is the only city that does the decriminalization or legalization. All the other cities around it do not. And they're pretty severe, stiff penalties still in those cities. So if you travel, 5 minutes outside of Denver, then you're in one of those cities. So we're going to try to change some laws there as well.
We're talking about the Littletons and Auroras and those.
Littleton, exactly. Inglewood, Arvada, Westminster. There's a bunch for us to work around there, all on the local city level.
Okay. Now, just before we forget to tell people this stuff, if people are listening from Denver or the area and they want to get involved with you, where can they go on the net, email, or telephone to get in touch with you?
They can go to milehighnormal.org. They can type that into any search engine and it'll pull up our MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. Email info@milehighnormal.org is the best place to reach us at. We answer all your interviews. I've also been in contact with somebody from a movie request that wants to do a screening out here in Denver. Use Mile High Normal as their main sponsorship for that.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
So a lot of things sound like they're happening really quick for
really
you.
Really fast, yes.
Even just as a brand new chapter. To what do you attribute that? Is it just that people are desperate for this kind of change, or is the Normal name is popular in Colorado? I mean, what's happening there?
So people are desperate for a change. And I think people also know the Normal name, and there wasn't really a Normal set inside the city of Denver. So when we come out here and tell them they're out there, they're just waiting for us to lay our groundwork and become a member.
All right. And as far as this summer goes, there's always a lot of festivals and concerts and things happening. You talked about the Vans and the other tours that you're getting involved with.
Yep.
Any chance of coming out to Seattle Hemp Fest or any of those events?
I would love to come out to the Seattle Hemp Fest. I'm definitely going to make it to the September conference in San Francisco. When is the Seattle Hemp Fest?
Seattle Hemp Fest is always the third weekend of August. So this year it's on the 15th and 16th in Seattle's Myrtle Edwards Park.
I would love to go. I'm unable to make it this year, but have fun. And
now you guys have, I know next year coming up, this will be something you'll probably get involved with. You guys have that big gathering in Boulder for 420.
Correct.
And I know some people have been trying to turn it into more of a political event in Denver as well. Is that something you're involved with right now?
Yeah, I'm involved with the Denver one. Boulder, got the CU Boulder chapter up there, the normal chapter for CU up there doing that. But they want to do a 420 rally. They want to make it Denver's first Hemp Fest. Last year they already had, you know, a few vendors line up along the sides with some speakers. But we want to go all out. Speakers, bands, music, vendors. We're working with obtaining the permits from the city to allow us to use the Civic Center Park, which is the main park in the middle of town there.
Oh, that would be excellent. We're looking forward to that, and we hope that people that want to bring a Hemp Fest to the Rocky Mountains up in the Mile High City, to get in touch with Mile High Normal at milehighnormal.org. They're already started, and the wheels are turning quite quickly. I'm so impressed by how quickly your chapter has formed and then just taking the ball and run with it. It's something I think all our normal chapters could emulate.
I think they can too, and it's all thanks to you guys. You guys make it really easy, pointing people in our direction, and...
Well, that's good, too. We got you involved on the normal calendar of events as well. If there's other chapters out there listening, get yourself a Google calendar and share it with us here at Normal, and your events will appear immediately on the Normal National page, and we hope that gets you some more people out to your rallies, too.
I think it will.
All right. Well, Scott, before I let you go, you co-founded Mile High Normal. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out here in the United States and around the world from Mile High Normal?
Hello. Help us legalize it. Come join us in our march. Not really. Thanks for having us, and thanks for doing everything that you guys do for us to make it easy on us on the local level. Join Mile High Normal. Join Normal in general.
All right.
If you don't have it in your area, start one. There's no excuse for you not to have one in your area.
That's right. Scott did it. Scott and Emily did it. You can do it too. Send me an email at stash@normal.org. I'll get you started. Scott Green, Executive Director of Mile High Normal in beautiful Denver, Colorado. Thanks for joining us here on your inaugural interview on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with thanks for donating to help us get Normal Show Live off the ground. I want to give special thanks out to Pookie420, Fidget Truatelli, Ream420, Brian Kerr, and Suncoast Stasher, all of whom donated through the tip jar and by going to stash.normal.org/donate. We're trying to raise $6,000 to pay for the first and last month, so we'll be on the air for at least 2 months, and once we're on the air, we've got to get some more advertisers. So if you know of a 420-friendly business that wants to get involved, send me an email at stash@normal.org. Also, we've got a special contest. I'll be announcing it tomorrow. Herb Age Design is sponsoring me in a hot wing eating contest, and I'm going to ask people to pledge me per wing. So more details on that coming up on tomorrow's Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you, everybody, for making this the greatest job a guy could have and for working together to end adult marijuana prohibition. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.